There are seven islands that are grouped less than 200 miles off of New Zealand in the Auckland Islands archipelago. One of them is home to approximately 65,000 pairs of white-capped albatrosses, nearly the entire world population. The Auckland rail, once thought to be extinct, can also be found on this island, having been rediscovered there in 1966. The island is completely uninhabited by humans. Its name, Disappointment Island. Yep, there's actually a place called Disappointment Island. Though there are no permanent residents there, aside from the albatrosses and rails, and despite its very remote location, it must surely be one of the most visited places on the entire planet. I recall an early visit I made to Disappointment Island. I was quite young, about 4 years old, I'd guess. My sister, just 14 months older, with devious forethought and unmistakable sibling malice, informed me one fine summer day that as soon as our dad got home from work, we were going to the beach. I remember waiting anxiously for my dad's arrival, then impatiently trailing him into my parents' bedroom, watching as he slowly shed his dress for success attire. Finally, unable to stand it any longer, I asked him, "When are we leaving?" "Leaving for where?" "The beach," I declared excitedly. "Oh, that's several weeks away." And with those sad, sad words, instead of setting off for the South Carolina coast, I embarked on a sojourn to Disappointment Island. I'm guessing you've probably made a few trips there yourself. Disappointment Island, not to be confused with the harsher climes of, say, the Plains of Pain or the Desert of Despair, and not nearly as debilitating as the assaulting conditions in Oppression Swamp. Disappointment Island is nonetheless no one's idea of an ideal getaway. Disappointment occupies that gnawing, unsettling gap between hope or expectation and reality. Someone let you down, failed to live up to your expectations, left your hopes unfulfilled, and, well, you are disappointed. It's not a federal offense, a case for serious intervention, not even a deal breaker. But the ubiquitous, not infrequent experience of disappointment can cause sand in our gears, can take the wind out of our sails, can burden us with that gnawing, irritating, dull ache. Disappointment is the common cold of emotional illnesses. Almost never fatal, but absolutely always annoying. Classic Buddhism concedes a certain sober realism about life. Life is, say the Buddhist, dukkha. There's not a great one-word English equivalent for the Pali notion of dukkha. Sharon Salzberg suggests that dukkha refers to the pain that arises out of the ungovernable nature of events in our lives. It points, she says, to those uncomfortable feelings, among which she includes disappointment. Disappointment, as dukkha, she says, points to that deep sense of not rightness about life. Confronted with disappointment, we are reminded that there's much of life that we do not, that we cannot control. Who of us does not understand explicitly Robert Burns' centuries-old observation about the best-laid schemes of mice and men? We've all had experiences, likely in the past few days, when something just didn't go as planned, though through no fault of our own. Someone didn't live up to our expectations. Someone let us down. Someone left us standing in that gap between expectation and reality. What then? What choices do we have? Rage? Blame? Retaliation? Withdrawal? Bucking up, gritting our teeth, accommodating, accepting, forgiving. Disappointment can define us. Disappointment can control us. Or we can do the deeper spiritual work that enables us to find our ways back to freedom again. Disappointment can cause us to stoop or inspire us to stand, as David White puts it, in a firmer sense of self, a surer sense of our world. Disappointment can be the call to some more courageous connection to what we hold dear, to the values that are most important to us, to our deeper selves, to those we can trust to help carry us through. Disappointment may be a summons to be gentle with yourself, even with the one who disappointed you. To imagine that the gap between expectation and reality is not a permanent fissure, but an opening for something new to come to life. Nobody is a permanent resident on Disappointment Island, though some do seem to opt for an extended stay. Unlike the more devastating experiences in our lives, disappointment then presents us with a choice. Are we interested in? Are we willing to move on?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So much of our experience in life has to do directly with our perception. Is something really a disappointment, or is it an opportunity for something different to happen? What should I do when something doesn't go my way? I allow myself to have space to have my feelings, grab a tool out of my toolbox, step off the disappointment roller coaster. I find in my life, the more tools I have in my toolbox, the more I'm able to shift gears and change my outlook. I use a roller coaster as a visual in my mind to represent how emotionally I go through disappointment. Sometimes I can feel I'm going up that beginning hill when the emotions start to come to the surface. I have a choice in that moment of stopping and getting off the ride, walking down the wooden plank, and having a different experience. Or I can hold on to the disappointment, continue the ride, and go deeply into the negative feelings and even let in old past hurts and disappointments. This result is a full-blown sadness spiral. What makes the difference in these experiences? How can I get off the ride? That's where my toolbox comes in. Over the years, I have developed a few tools to help stay off the roller coaster. To mention a few, my toolbox contains positive affirmations, creative thinking, and freeze frame. And I also have daily practices to prepare myself for life's unexpected moments through meditation, gratitude, and grounding practices. Recently, I was supposed to go to Asheville with a friend, and at the last minute, she had to cancel due to her sick cat. I completely understood, but I was still disappointed. I was feeling down. But then I started feeling guilty because I was disappointed. So I decided I needed to give myself some space to have those feelings. I allowed myself to sit for a moment, breathe deeply, and feel what I was feeling. And it was so helpful. So often in our culture, we want to rush past this stage and act as if everything is okay. But those feelings are still inside. So I took a moment and I just allowed the feelings to wash over me. Then I reached into my toolbox and I found freeze frame, the simple activity to breathe into my heart for 10 seconds and then bring in a really happy, positive memory. I re-experience it. I let it permeate me. Then I ask my heart, what is a more efficient response to disappointment that reduces stress moving forward? Next, I pulled out my tool to create space for creativity. Sometimes I can get so caught up in my expectations of what I thought would happen that when it falls apart, I automatically go into a spiral of disappointment. There are those who say that expectation is premeditated resentment or disappointment. So with unmet expectations, I need to be flexible and take time to allow for a creative solution to present itself. Now that I had an open weekend, what was I going to do with my newfound time? Could I enjoy some much-needed rest and relaxation? Catch up with distant friends on the phone? Go to my favorite yoga class? Spend time with my family? Take a walk in nature? And go to the Sunday service at the UUCC? Gradually, I shifted my frame of mind. I was looking forward to this new and different weekend. It was not what I originally planned, but in the end, it was filled with unexpected beauty and gratitude. Gratitude is one of my favorite and oldest tools. And the more I practice that on a daily basis, the more I stay in a framework of gratitude and the less I engage in the energy of disappointment. So no matter how tired I am at the end of the day, I write down 5 things that I'm grateful for. This shifts my perspective. I am actually proactively looking throughout the day to find out, what will I write tonight? What am I grateful for? As I move along in the day and have different interactions with people, I often ask myself, oh, is that something that I'll write in my gratitude journal tonight? You can see in all these tools, I focus on being able to be in the present moment and accept what's happening. And then I move forward in the most joyful and positive way I can. But what about those daily disappointments? For those, I have my daily practices, which include positive affirmations. All is well. Everything is working out for my highest good. Out of this situation, only good will come. I am safe. This is an affirmation that Louise Hay shared 21 years ago at a women's empowering seminar in Atlanta, Georgia. She just had turned 70. She thought, I am off the coaster. I am gonna just glide through life now. And she said, no, she was doing some of the hardest work she had ever done. And that bore this affirmation that she shared with us. I find affirmations incredibly helpful. When I'm dealing with a difficult situation, feel overwhelmed, I stop, say these words over and over for 5 minutes. Usually this gives me a break from the loop in my head and creates a little space which affords me the ability to shift and come up with a solution. As I step out the door on my way to work, I take a moment to ground myself. I feel my feet connected to the earth and have a conscious breath to allow that connection to really bring me into the present moment. I love to use nature to help me achieve this. Throughout the day, the moments I share with nature help fortify me. Feeling the rays of the sun, walking in nature, standing among the trees, listening to the birds, looking at the moon. You get the idea. Sometimes I work through the disappointment and think I'm past it. But then those feelings unexpectedly come back. I'm right back on the roller coaster ride, possibly on Disappointment Island. Wait, what? I did the work. I'm over this. Click, clack, click, clack. The more time I spend fighting and arguing with myself, the closer I get to the top of the hill. I can either hold on as the momentum takes me down, or I can reach for a tool and rework the issue, which can be multifaceted like a diamond. I take a deep breath, pick myself up, dust myself off, and start it all over again. As I close my toolbox, after showing you all my nice shiny tools and all my old dusty tools, I feel it's important to say that I don't expect myself to have the perfect response in every situation. I am human. We are human. And humans are continuously growing, learning, and healing. I believe that because you're here today in this fellowship, that you are mindful and looking for ways to increase your frequency or your heart vibration or to be more at peace in your life. When something pulls us out of balance in our daily lives, these tools can bring you back to peace and joy and help us off the roller coaster.